We welcome Lisa to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Lawyer Up is the segment. She always gives us advice on different legal stories. By the way, there's an update to that story of the girl who was at the homeschool prom in Richmond. Now, she says she was kicked out of the prom because her dress, even though it was the correct length, was making some of the chaperones, some of the parents there, have impure thoughts. So they made her go. But now a lot of the people are saying that's not true. It was all about her dancing. And several of you, even the teenagers, are saying, you know, it's not true that they said your dress is making us have impure thoughts. It was more about the dancing than anything else, and that she's making all this up. She wrote on her blog all that, and that she's lying. Lisa Lanier is with us, our Two Guys Named Chris lawyer for Lawyer, the official attorney of this program, and we've actually got a school story to start. Good morning, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. Thank you. Here's the school story. Now, this is an elementary school student. A father in Kenosha, Wisconsin, has asked that a 5-year-old be served with a restraining order because the 5-year-old continues to bully his daughter. The daughter came home and said a student in her kindergarten class threatened her by saying, "I want to slit your throat and watch you bleed." Now, that's pretty alarming when you hear that. This guy's name is Brian Metzger, and he said, "I think they should have done something a lot sooner. They've kept him in the same classroom with my daughter throughout the school year." So about a week and a half ago, he went and got a restraining order against this 5-year-old. Now, there's only a few weeks left in the school year, and again, he's asked a couple of times for this kid to be moved, and they have refused to do it. So, Lisa, I guess it is okay to get a restraining order against a 5-year-old. Were you surprised to see that the court did this?
No, you can absolutely get a restraining order against a minor, and some courts have special procedures for juvenile restraining orders, and it's just uncommon. You just don't see it that often, but you can definitely do it. No, excuse me, I have an allergy thing going on. So I sound like B. Arthur again. I know that turns you on.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Immaterial.
You should, if I was ever on a jury, just talk like that, and you got okay. Me. You know, you had me at hello.
you can definitely get a restraining order against a juvenile, but it's uncommon. But it's becoming more and more common as this whole sort of bullying movement is, you know, there's an awareness about bullying that didn't used to exist. And so you are seeing it more often. There was actually a national story about 2 or 3 months ago, a California dad did the same thing with a 9-year-old where there was a bullying situation at school. And the interesting thing about it is some of these restraining orders will say that the child has to be, you know, 200 yards away at all times. And in that situation, it forces the school to relocate one of the kids to another classroom. But like in the California case, the judge said that the other little kid, the 9-year-old, had to stay, I think it was 2 yards away from the other kid at all times. And the judge did that, I think, purposefully, so it didn't kind of screw with the school's ability to place the kids in the same classroom, but just put the onus on the child to not touch or be close to the victim.
Well, and you know, you could move them out of a classroom, like you said, if it's supposed to be 200 yards or something, but they're going to be closer than that, probably on a playground or a cafeteria or something.
Right.
At some point, they'll probably be closer than that. It's 5 years old. It's got to be the record, though. I mean, I get it if you're 12 or 13, maybe,
yeah,
but 5 years old, my goodness.
Yeah, I've never seen a 5-year-old to be the subject of a restraining order. I think that's definitely a first.
Well, it worked because they got it, and so that kid has to be moved now out of the classroom for the rest of the year. School year ends pretty soon, but you know, that's pretty alarming for a parent when your daughter comes home and says, "I want to cut your throat and watch you bleed," from a 5-year-old. Lisa.
Well, apparently the little 5-year-old bully had also kicked her in the face and all kinds of crazy.
Threw rocks at her at one point, I believe I read also. There's a story today also about the video game, Grand Theft Auto 5. I always forget. Biggie, is that the one you play, Grand Theft Auto?
Love it.
Thought so.
Great game. Highly recommend it for everyone over the age of 21.
All right. My kid wants to play it.
Mm-hmm. Don't let him touch it.
He keeps hearing about that. There's a character in the video game named Antonia Battino. Do you know who that is?
I kind of vaguely remember that name.
Okay. Well, there is somebody on the show Mob Wives. Her name is Karen Gravano, and she says, "I'm the inspiration for this character in the video game." And Grand Theft Auto, the makers of it, have said, "No, you're not. You're too fat to be the inspiration for that video game. Our the character in the game is much slimmer than you."
slap, slap.
Sounds like a great reason to me.
She's suing for $40 million, saying you had no permission and no right to put my image in this video.
You're talking to us, Tubby? Yeah.
The question is, can they use her image if they slim her down in the game? Lisa, how's this going to work out?
Oh, it doesn't really matter if they slimmed her down or not. If they are appropriating her likeness for mm-hmm. a commercial purpose, then they're going to have to pay her. And I watched an interesting clip from the video game that kind of compared her voice and her likeness to it. And it does really seem like, I mean, even the text or the dialogue that the character engages in the video game is all about how they want to do a reality, you know, want her to appear on a reality show. And mm-hmm. stuff. So it looks pretty damning to them, I think.
So you think they're going to lose this?
I think they very well might. I mean, you know, when you make a sort of a caricature or a cartoon of someone, you often either make them larger or smaller, or you exaggerate features or whatever. So I think just the fact that the character is a thinner, maybe sexier looking version of her doesn't change the fact that it appears to be her likeness.
Well, that was their whole defense. Yeah. That was their whole thing is, we would never put you in it, Tubby. We slimmed this person way down. She's saying they're dead ringer. So you do see it then. You see a big similarity.
Well, yeah. I mean, I did see a similarity. But then the flip side of that, which I would think the company would argue, is that, you know, there's this whole trend toward these reality shows, and that if they sort of took the idea of a sort of morphed together the idea of a mob wife, you know, then, and it's not her particular likeness, but just in general kind of the idea of a mob wife and a mob wife reality show, then I think they can get away with it. But they really did. This one really does. It does look like her and sounds like her, and I do think they were going for her likeness.
If she wins, does she get anywhere close to $40 million? That's what she wants.
I don't think she'll get $40 million, but I don't know. From what I understand, the profits from this video game are astronomical, so she really might.
Yeah,
I would imagine that they would settle it with her closer to the trial.
Biggie played it nonstop for a couple of months when it first came out.
You know, it would be interesting to know. How did the mob wife find out? I wonder if she played the game or if one of her,
good question.
A friend of hers kids played the game and said, hey, this looks like you.
Yeah.
But thinner.
If you lost some weight, you could look a lot like this girl in the video game.
Exactly.
Maybe that's how it happened. I don't know.
I mean, because there could be a likeness of me in that game, but I'd never know.
You never know it.
You never know it, yeah.
Biggie, is there a likeness of Chris Dim in Grand Theft Auto?
I don't think so.
No, nothing. Well, look for us. Make sure you pay attention to that. There's a hotel that is suing TripAdvisor.com. This is in Oregon. The name of the hotel is the Ashley Inn. They're suing for around $75,000 defamation lawsuit because somebody went on to TripAdvisor.com and posted a bunch of bad things about it. Laundry and housekeeping are either high or drunk. Breakfast is nasty. The rooms are nasty. Jen at the front desk had phone sex with somebody. The owner smokes weed. All this type of stuff up on the website. And they're saying, of course, it's hurting their business. They had 286 critiques, and the average got 4 out of 5 stars. But this one was really, really bad. So tell us, Lisa, and I think we've had discussions about these websites before. If the person put something up there, literally, Jen at the front desk had phone sex with someone. The owner smokes weed. Is that crossing the line? Is that like a libel or slander issue?
It absolutely is. There's a huge trend now for businesses to go after these sites, and the courts are requiring these websites to reveal the identity of the person who posted that, and these folks are being found guilty of defamation because these people who are posting these opinions are going beyond an opinion. You know, mm-hmm. if you just post an opinion and you say, man, I hated that hotel, then there's nothing they can do about that. That's a total opinion. There's no misstatement of fact about that. But when you go and you state facts that can be proven to be false, like the owner smokes weed, the lady at the front desk was having phone sex, those folks can prove that to be false, and then you've made false statements that harm the reputation of a business, and you're going to end up owing them money.
So let me ask you this. If the way you phrase it make a difference? So if I said, the front desk worker is so slow, I'm sure she probably smokes weed.
I wouldn't be surprised if.
I wouldn't be surprised if she smokes weed. Is that different from saying she smokes weed?
Yeah, or you could say, you know, she said, you know, you could frame it, if it's totally, you can frame it like it's an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she acted so spacey, I thought she was high or something.
Right.
You can, as long as it seems like it's an opinion.
Right.
But if you go to this level of actually stating these very specific facts, then you've really crossed the line. It's really better just to stick, if you want to post something, stick to the just, I hated this place.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing they can do about that.
Nothing they can do about that. But when you start crossing that line into stating a fact, then there's a big, big trend in this, because there's just a lot of competition in this space for these companies, you know, like on TripAdvisor. And the courts are really going in favor of letting these people go after people who defame them.
Let me ask you this. If somebody called into a radio show, a caller, and is live on the air on this show and says, the burger place XYZ, the owner smokes weed, and it's not true, they go after the caller, right, not the show.
Right, they would go after the caller and
Oh, God. You're good. Well, that's all we need, at least.
Spoken, it's slander. Yeah.
Okay,
so we're straight.
We're okay. That's slander on the call. We'd have to give up their phone number, and we do have we have caller ID here.
Exactly. They would require you to give up that person's, and if you refuse or you set it up,
we wouldn't. We would not refuse. We would immediately
be in on it.
Yeah, we will rat you out in a heartbeat. Are you kidding? Look at this show.
You're talking to the tattler.
You think I would go to jail or over something like that to protect a source? Never.
No.
Never. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. It's always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
We talk to Lisa every single week at this time, or whenever some legal case comes up that we need to get a better grip on. She is president at Lanier Law Group, and you can get her at lanierlawgroup.com.